Good morning. I'd like to begin by mentioning that I'm not the regular preacher here. If you want to hear a real sermon, wait until later, and Ryan will be preaching. I've talked to Ryan before. It's difficult when you give one sermon a year to kind of come up with something that's good to talk about. And I remember talking to him, and he said, why not go big? If you're giving one sermon, just go big. And so this morning we're going to be talking about our purpose. This is one of those subjects, I've thought a lot about. I remember one night, it's one of those nights where you can't sleep and you're still a little tired, a little sleepy, and you start asking yourself weird questions. And I remember just thinking, about God and, why did he have to make man? Why did he create people? And more importantly, once he created people, what is our purpose? Why are we here? What purpose do we serve as humans on this earth? So that's kind of where I want to go with our lesson this morning. These are kind of the topics I want to explore. I need to make mention that this is obviously a huge subject to tackle. And, we have something that tells us our purpose. It's called the Bible. And we, I can't teach every lesson in the Bible, but I want to keep this as broad as possible. It's a big subject. I want to, try to condense it down and just focus on the main point of, what we do for God, what our purpose is on this earth. So what we'll do is we'll introduce kind of some context. We'll discuss, what is our purpose. We'll get in it right away. And then why does that matter? Why does it, discovering our purpose, dwelling on, what God created us for, why is that something we need to think about? And then we'll end with some concluding remarks. So to start out, here's a couple things that I think are important for us to know. The kind of the context, what we are doing on this earth, God put us here as a reflection of his own image. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock and all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps the earth." So we see God put us on here in his image. We are here to reflect the likeness of God, as it says. So I think that's important. When we start thinking about what our purpose is, it's important to understand the context. And as we are a reflection of God on this earth, we need to realize that this earth is a battleground. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, kind of falling with the thoughts of the armor of God, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That we're in, this is a spiritual battle that we're in here, or that we're engaged in on this earth. It's against good versus evil. Believers and non-believers have this primitive understanding of goodness, of, evil, and we're engaged in this warfare. And I think that's important to know, so if we're in this battleground, what are we supposed to do? What's our purpose? And what are we to make of that? So we'll jump right in. What is our purpose? Well, and the Bible says a lot about purpose. It says a lot of blanket statements about, what we should be doing as Christians. So I put together some real good contenders for verses that tell us about our purpose. So we're going to explore some of those. So is our purpose to seek the kingdom? In Matthew 6, verse 33, it kind of follows along with some of the ideas of, worrying about the cares of this world and some of the anxieties. And he said, this doesn't matter. You need to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. So that definitely seems to be a very important thing for us to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is another one of those blanket statements in Ecclesiastes 12:13, where the writer says that fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole duty of man. So that kind of sounds like that's our purpose too. So we're supposed to fear God and keep his commandments. What about loving our neighbor? In Galatians 5, in verse 13 through 14, it says that the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So again, the whole law being fulfilled in that one thing kind of sounds like this is our purpose, to love our neighbor. Or even let's take a step back, love the Lord. Mark 12, in verse 30, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. With all your mind and all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So that brings back the love of the neighbor, and then we add love the Lord to that. So these are our two kind of blanket commandments we're supposed to do. But is this our purpose? And I would encourage you to kind of look at what the end game is to all of these things, because these all things, there's a common thread. And what I believe our purpose to be would be to glorify God. And that's what all of these things point to, is that we are to glorify God. We are to, all of these things teach us how to reflect His likeness on this earth and how to be victorious in this spiritual battle, all so that God can be glorified. And that's our purpose, and we get some insight into that throughout some other verses. A good one to go to is Isaiah 43 and verse 7. And this is good. I'd encourage you to turn to this one. There's some other context going on, but he mentions, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And so that there we can see what was the objective of us being made. We were made for God's glory. There's a few other verses we can look to kind of support this idea. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, it's talking about how the things we do in this world, just because it's lawful doesn't necessarily mean it's helpful. And kind of to conclude some of these thoughts about, you know, your motives and why you do things, it says, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So as we engage in activities, you know, it shouldn't be, well, you know, is this, I don't think it's a sin, you know, so I should do this because, I you know, it's not wrong. Well, you know, is what we are doing to the glory of God? You know, and that's kind of the point that's made in 1 Corinthians, that, you know, if you're doing something that may be right, but if you know that it hurts a brother, you know, don't do that, because, you know, within that, God's not glorified. Further along, we start to see where Jesus plays a big role in our ability to fulfill our purpose by glorifying God. In John 15, verse 7 through 8, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So here we see this idea that if we abide in Christ, through that, you know, we have that special relationship that we can pray to God, receive those things that are according to His will, and we can bear the fruit that shows the likeness of God here on this earth. And through that, again, what's the ultimate goal here? By this, my Father is glorified. So we see God being glorified again. Philippians, we see Christ again in Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God has exalted Him, talking about Jesus, and bestowed to Him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the sun and under the earth, so that every tongue may confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And why? To the glory of the Father. In Romans 5, verse 1 through 2, it says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is all through Christ that we can fulfill this purpose of glorifying God. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is an interesting thing to think about, because we haven't experienced the glory of God in its entirety. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but the hope of the glory of God is really being able to see God for who He is. And that's what heaven really is all about, is being able to glorify God, to worship God, and to serve Him, and to see Him as He is. And it's through Christ that we have this opportunity to ultimately fulfill our purpose in heaven. And again, to kind of support that, in Revelation 22, verse 1 through 5, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His names will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So again, I really wanted to focus on this idea that His servants are there worshiping Him. That's the scene we get in heaven, is that there is nothing, no sin, nothing to distract us from worshiping God, which as we've read in the verses before, is our ultimate purpose and what we're to be thinking about as we live on this earth. But this isn't something that God, this is something that God wants. It's not that God has kind of a neutral opinion whether or not we want to worship him or not. Don't be mistaken. God loves us very much, and it's not about glorifying, it is about glorifying God, but God also desires to have that relationship with us, and it's a love we don't understand, but we know that he loved us so much that he took his son, who was right there with him, the same glory as him, put him on this earth to become a man, and humbled himself, and even died at the hands of the men that were created by him, just so that we could be saved, just so that we could have the opportunity to praise him forever in heaven. So why does it matter? Well, we just mentioned God did a lot for us to be able to fulfill our purpose, for us to be in heaven, for us to glorify him, for us to have a relationship with him. There was a big price that was paid, and so it definitely matters. But we'll look at some other reasons why it matters and why it's good for us to kind of try to think about, you know, ways to glorify God. How are we becoming better at fulfilling our purpose? Luke 11, verse 42, it's the example where the Pharisees, you know, were tithing, and they were getting real nitpicky with how they tithed. And that wasn't the part that was condemned. The part that was condemned was neglecting the justice and the love of God at the expense of, you know, getting too, I guess, missing the forest for the trees, so to speak. And we too can miss the big pictures. We can look into the law, and we can, you know, try to follow things, or we look for those gray areas, you know, where we can, you know, have a little wiggle room. And sometimes it's good to step back and say, just like it says in, you know, 1 Corinthians, is this glorifying God? You know, is what we are doing glorifying God? Because that's what we're here for. That's what God made us to do. And it also, it's important because our motives matter. Matthew 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Again, it matters why we do things. God cares about why we do things. God cares, you know, practicing righteousness is good, but if you're doing it for the wrong reason, then you know, we have no reward. So we need to be doing things for the right reason. And again, to bring up that 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, that reason should all be to the glory of God. And Daniel 7, verse 14, the point I want to make here is that the church is a big deal. What we do here in worshiping him and what the church is consisted of is a big deal. I chose Daniel 7, 14, which is obviously a prophecy of the church and the kingdom of God. But I thought it was really good, a really good summary of, you know, what the kingdom of God is. It says, and to him, being Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. So this kingdom that we're talking about here in all its glory and that God was given the authority over, that's here. That's here today. That's his church. That's his people. And what are we supposed to be doing as his church? Well, we're supposed to be serving him. We're supposed to be worshiping him. We're supposed to be glorifying him, which is what our purpose is. So the purpose that we're to fill is being done right now. It's not something we wait till we're in heaven to do. It's something that we should be doing now. And, of course, there's other verses. I like this one in Daniel, but that support this idea that the kingdom is here. And that makes the transition to heaven just really a fulfillment, a more perfect situation that we can accomplish that purpose. And I remember Mitch saying one time in class, you know, if we don't like coming to church and worshiping God, you know, what's heaven going to be like? Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. And I always think about that, and I think it's a really good way to kind of sum up this idea that heaven is nothing more than like I said, the perfect situation, the perfect environment for us to fulfill our purpose, which is to glorify God. When we can see him face to face in all his glory, we have no barriers, no barriers of sin, nothing that stands in our way of doing that. And here's a verse in Revelation 7 through 9 that kind of goes along and uses some of this language about, you know, what's going on in heaven and all the worship that's taking place. And it's the whole book of Revelation is full of just kind of these snapshots into, you know, what's going on in those heavenly regions. And it's a lot of praise. It's a lot of worship. And so, you know, why does it matter? Well, maybe we need to change our view of heaven. So, you know, sometimes Ryan taught a really good lesson about heaven. You know, heaven's not where we're going to go and, you know, play golf all day and, like, never get tired. Or just, like, you know, like, play pegs and jokers all night long. You know, that's not what heaven is. Heaven's about God. Heaven's about glorifying God, glorifying Jesus, you know, who came down here and died for us. So really, I mean, that's it. It's a simple lesson. Hopefully we kept things kind of easy to understand, kind of easy to think about, that our purpose here is to glorify God. We need to be focused on that. And we need to be appreciative, too, of the role, like we mentioned, that Jesus Christ played in us being able to have the opportunity to go to heaven, to not worry about sin, and to worship God as he is. So if there's anyone here this morning who has not been living their life right, who maybe has not been living to glorify God, we give you an opportunity now where you can come forward, you can let your worries, your requests be known to the church. We can pray for you, and we can help you get on the right path, and we can help you begin living a life that glorifies God. If you have not been if you've never been a Christian, and you're ready to start fulfilling your purpose, you're ready to start living your life for God. The Bible has a plan for that, and it involves, you know, hearing His word and believing in it and confessing and being baptized into His name. If you have any need, please come forward now as we stand and sing.